You know, Jesus is risen. That's pretty exciting. You know what that means? Sunday's here. Sunday is here. It's not coming any longer. For the disciples, it was coming. For us, it's here. It's now. We have to choose to participate in what the Lord has done. So that's what we're going to look at today as we look over the Easter passage. Jesus is risen. It's past tense. It's already happened. Sunday's available to us today. We have to choose to walk in that each and every day. Before we get going, I'm going to say a quick prayer because I like talking to God and because I like to make sure I'm under His direction. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, God, to deliver your word to your people today, God. And I ask that you would use my thoughts, use my words, use my tongue, God, to deliver your words to your people, God, that you would meet your people where they are at today. God, that your message of hope, God, would go forth and strengthen and encourage them, God, that it would, God, resurrect, God, new life in each and every one of us today. And Father, I just thank you for your Son, who went to the cross willingly. God, not wanting to, but willingly. And God, I thank you even more so that he rose again on that Sunday morning. God, I thank you that he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Father, I thank you that we have an opportunity, God, to choose your Son as our Lord and Savior, that we may inherit the kingdom of God for eternity. Father, we thank you. God, I ask you to open the ears and hearts of the hearer, those in the building, God, those who would listen online, God, that they would receive the truth of your word, God, that they would receive from the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God, that we would begin experiencing new resurrection life each and every day moving forward. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to jump right into the word. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Do you know what separates Jesus from all other gods? He has risen. He's alive and well. He's still living among us. We don't have to cart him around on a coat or a cart or a pedestal. We don't have to have an image of him to drag around with us because he lives within us. He is alive and well. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding on our behalf. He is alive and well. What a joyous day for us to be alive. I think about all the Old Testament people that lived without Jesus or the knowledge of Jesus because he hadn't come yet. I think about the people that lived on earth when Jesus was there and they had to be in physical proximity of Jesus to be with Jesus. And then I think about us on this side and we get to take the Holy Spirit of the living God with us wherever we go and we get to meet with him wherever we're at. And that's exciting. As I think about this passage, I think about backing up a few days. Backing up in Matthew 26, 14 through 16, one of his most trusted friends, one of his 12 disciples, is bartering for a price to betray him. Sometimes that getting to the cross moment, that getting to Resurrection Day, there's a lot of pain and suffering involved in getting there. We're going to look at some of that pain and suffering that was involved in Jesus and his disciples and what happened. So Judas says, all right, 30 pieces of silver sounds good to me. And from then on, he looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Jesus knew betrayal. Jesus knew what it was like to have somebody stab him in the back, but yet he didn't let that stop him. He loved through the rejection. As we move along in the story, a few days later, they're sitting there at the Last Supper. Jesus invites Judas to his table, who he knows is going to betray him. But Jesus did not let the betrayal cause rejection of his love to Judas. Sometimes we get betrayed and we're like, okay, you're done. Cancel you from Christmas cards. Cancel you from whatever. Cancel you from Facebook. Jesus knew Judas was betraying him. He says, go and do what you came to do and do it quickly. But he still invited him to the table, gave him opportunity, still showed him love, compassion, and kindness, as we are supposed to do. Jesus loved through rejection. Even when you're betrayed, love through rejection. On to the next passage. Jesus is talking to Peter, one of his most trusted disciples, and says, hey, you're going to deny me. Peter's like, me? Oh, never, Lord. I would die before I denied you. They would have to kill me, and I still wouldn't deny you. I'm yours forever. Jesus knows. Peter doesn't yet know. We move on in the story. You can read all this in Matthew chapter 26 and 27 leading up to 28 if you want to get all the bits and pieces. They move on. They leave the dinner. They move into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is there praying, and he invites his disciples to pray with him. Comes back a little while later. They're all passed out, sleeping. Hey, wake up. Pray with me. Come on. Like, this is urgent. This is serious. Have you ever had an urgent need? Invited people to help you out and nobody showed up? Speaking of which, I looked at the highway cleanup sheet. It's pretty skinny on volunteers. But have you ever invited people and like I prepared for everybody and nobody showed up? It's like, oh, that was a letdown. That was a bummer. What does Jesus do? Well, I was going to pray, but nobody would pray with me, so I'm going home. No. Jesus says, I know what I'm supposed to do. Whether you join me or not, I'm going to go pray and intercede. And meanwhile, he's praying, Lord, if this cup may pass, let it pass from me. He knows the horrific death, the pain, the suffering he's about to endure on our behalf. He knows it's coming. He says, God, if this cup can pass, let it pass from me. But if not, not my will, but yours be done. Do you ever get to those moments in your life? It's like, man, God, I don't want to go through this. God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to go to church today. Turkey and bear season's open. Oh, that touches a nerve on me. But do you ever get to that point with God? It's like, I don't really want to do that. And then we decide, I'm going to do my will and not yours. So Jesus, our great example, he says, no, you can have your will and you can voice your will to God and say, this is what I prefer, but not my will, God. I want yours to be done because I want you to be honored and glorified in all that I do. So putting our will on the back shelf so that God's will is on the front shelf. Jesus again went to his disciples and again went to his disciples. Hey, are you guys in? And they kept falling asleep. They kept not supporting him. Sometimes in life, we feel unsupported. We feel rejected. We feel betrayed. We feel Put your word in there. And we're going to have those moments, those days, those seasons. But the object is not to have them and stop in them. It's to keep moving through them until we get to Sunday. Moving on a little later in the garden, Jesus standing there with his disciples, and here comes this mob with Judas leading it. He comes and betrays him with a kiss, hands him over. Of course, Peter, he's going to save the day, draws his sword, chops the guy's ear off. Jesus is like, whoa, stop! Peter, put your sword away. What are you doing? This man that's about to arrest Jesus and lead him to a crucifixion, Jesus bends down, scoops up his ear, and heals it. Puts it back on the guy's head. And that moment of betrayal, that moment of abuse, that moment of rejection, that moment of, you name it, Jesus is feeling it fully. He's fully feeling the pain, the tension. In the garden when he was praying, it says he was praying so fervently, he was sweating drops of blood. Has anybody in here ever prayed that hard? Anyone? Okay, good, I'm not alone. I've not got to that point in my prayer life yet. But Jesus interceding on our behalf did. Physical drops of blood as he prayed and interceded. It was so intense. But in this moment, he says, no, I'm going to heal this guy. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to restore him. And there's a whole sermon in itself in that that we don't have time for today. But at that moment, Jesus' disciples abandon him. They desert him and leave him alone to be arrested, to be hauled off. A little while later, he's before the Sanhedrin, and they're, of course, putting him through the trial of what's he done, why is he here, what are we going to do to him? And all these false accusations start flying. He's a false teacher, he's a false prophet, maybe he's even Beelzebub, the devil. On and on. What does Jesus do? Nothing. He's silent. Do you stay silent through false accusation? Do you stay silent through true accusation? Jesus is modeling for us how to go through pain and suffering and betrayal and rejection and abandonment and abuse and. He's modeling for us. I'll make it. Excuse me. So a little while later, they're leading Jesus away, and Peter's out warming himself by the fire. Now Jesus' predictions are about to come true. Hey, weren't you one of this guy's followers? Aren't you one of him? No, I don't know that guy. Complete, utter rejection and denial. Three times this happens to Peter. They come again. Hey, aren't you one of his followers? No, I don't know him. To eventually the point he begins calling down curses on himself. So I don't have any idea who that guy is. Complete rejection and abandonment. How's Jesus dealing with this? He's continuing on in love, looking forward to 2023 and however long the world's going to be here until he comes again. I said, man, I love that Arby guy. You know, I got to get to that cross so he has a chance. I've got to get to that cross so he has hope. I've got to get to the cross so I can get to the resurrection. Because without going through the pain and the suffering and the cross, he doesn't get to the resurrection. Without taking authority over sin, death, hell, and the grave. He doesn't get to the resurrection. A little while later, Jesus is before Pilate. He's like, all right, do whatever you're going to do. Remembering the crowd that was just praising him, singing Hosanna, is now singing Crucify Him. Jesus is led away to be whipped and beaten beyond recognition. This wasn't like you were bad and naughty and got three swats and sent away. This was a brutal, brutal scene. Jesus is whipped and beaten. They can hardly recognize him, if at all. He's mocked and jeered, his beard plucked, the thorns crammed into his head. If you got to come over here, you got to see a nasty little crown of thorns. Ouch. Not only the physical, verbal insults, but the physical insults and beating and abuse that he suffered through that day. Eventually nailed to the cross. They said, if you're really the Son of God, get yourself down. But he was looking ahead to what had to be done for you and I. Suffered that abuse, suffered that. Eventually, Jesus on the cross dies. And he exhales, it is finished. I believe in that moment, the devil was probably like, woo! It's finished, I won. And Jesus was saying the work is finished, not it's over. He's saying the work, the payment for my people is finished so that they can experience the resurrection life each and every day, new, again, and fresh. Jesus is buried in the tomb. What in your life needs taken to the cross and buried in the tomb? What in your life, your hurt, your pain, your trauma, your addiction, your suffering, your fear, your guilt, your shame, your bad habits, your bad thinking, your bad words? Yeah, don't take it back. Leave it at the cross. Yes, thank you, Jamie. Don't take it back. Jesus paid for it. You know, when you give it to him and you pick it back up, you're stealing what's his. He paid for it. Leave it there. Because there is hope. There is life everlasting. There is joy unspeakable. There is peace that surpasses all your understanding. But you've got to leave it at the cross and walk through the other side to resurrection life. Your hurt, your pain, your trauma, everything of your past needs resurrection life. It needs the resurrection life that Christ paid for you and I to receive. Don't let the rejection of tomorrow or yesterday keep you from loving today. Christ didn't let the rejection of yesterday or the rejection that was yet to come keep him from loving today. As he hung on that cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. The people that put him there, that nailed him there, that whipped him and beat him, said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I sometimes get irritated when I get cut off in traffic. There's a lot more room for Jesus in Arby. But thank you, Jesus, that it's available to me each and every day anew. And when I screw up yesterday, I can do better today. And when I screw up today, I can do better tomorrow. And he continually gives me hope. He continually gives me that option for resurrection life each and every day if I will choose to keep bringing my guilt, my shame, my sin, my fear, my whatever, whatever to him. Say, God, I don't see and I don't understand today. And God, this isn't right and this isn't fair. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know why you're doing what you're doing or if you have anything to do with it at all. But I'm not enjoying it, but I trust you that there are better days ahead. I trust you that there's resurrection life available for me. The stone was not rolled away for Jesus to get out. It was rolled away so we could get in, so that we could see and believe that his promises are true. Can you get a hold of that? The stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. He had already ascended. He had already left the building. It was rolled away so you and I could get in, to see and believe that his promises are true, to build our faith, to build our trust in who he says he is. So what stones do you need rolled away? What stones in your life need rolled away? What's keeping you from believing and trusting in the promises of God? Perhaps it's your busyness. Perhaps it's fear. Perhaps it's pain. Perhaps it's success. Perhaps it's failure. Perhaps it's isolation. Perhaps it's lies that you're believing. But what is the stone in your life that keeps you from seeing in and believing the promises of God are true for you? Because that stone needs to roll away. Give it to God. There's one passage in the Bible where a man's crying out and says, help me help my unbelief. It's okay to be real with God. Say, hey, this is where I'm at. He wants us to fully feel every emotion we have and bring it to him. Say, God, this is where I'm at. I need you because I'm beyond the end of my rope. And I need a safety net because I'm falling and I'm falling fast. God, I need you. That's what he calls us to, rely on him, to trust in him, to believe in him. Where do you need to refuse rejection and embrace love? Where do you need to refuse rejection and embrace love? What needs resurrection power in your life? What needs resurrection power in your life? I think about the Old Testament versus the New. You know, in the Old Testament, it was all about the law. We had to follow the law, and we had to bring our sacrificial whatever, for our sin offering, our guilt offering, our shame offering, our fellowship offering. But then Jesus steps in, and he didn't come in just to do away with the law and say it's no good. He came in to fulfill the law. And then he boils it all down to like, just basically do this. Love God and love people. That's what I need you to do with your life. Love God and love people. You want to talk about resurrection life? It's that simple, to love God and love people. Not 672 laws that I have to follow and obey. That's not an exact number. But it's something like that. The temple is in you. The Word of God says this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So wherever I am, I can experience the resurrection life because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within me. In Old Testament time, you used to have to travel to wherever the temple was. You want to talk about resurrection life? I can meet with God wherever I'm at. Talk about freedom in the Spirit. Jesus is at the meeting the woman at the well. He's talking with her and says, hey, can I have a drink of water? And she says, like, are you even supposed to be talking to me? Like, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, this isn't socially acceptable. And besides, I'm a woman, you're a man, not socially acceptable. Jesus says, but if you knew who it was that asked you for a drink, you would ask him for living water. They continue on the conversation, eventually gets to this point, and she's like, well, you say, you Jews say we have to worship on this mountain, we say we have to worship on this mountain. And Jesus comes back and says, well, time is coming soon and is now here. Well, true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. So what does resurrection life look like? Worshiping God in spirit and in truth, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at. Because they were kind of falling into this facade. I can go live however I want all week, and when I come to the temple, then we worship God. He was condemning the Sadducees and Pharisees a little bit. Because when they were in the temple, they were all about, let's worship Jesus. But when they were on the street and in the square, they were belittling people and chastising people and causing suffering and pain. Resurrection life looks like worshiping God in spirit and in truth. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, bringing glory and honor to His name. What stone needs rolled away in your life? What do you need to take to the cross? What do you need to surrender to Jesus? Say, I want your resurrection life. I want to feel that joy, that peace once again, because it's been a long time. I've been in those seasons of life, and they're not fun. They're certainly not joyful. What in your life needs rolled away so you can see and believe? And after we see and believe and experience, then we're supposed to go tell about it. Tell the good news of the resurrection life. We serve our Lord and Savior who is alive and well. He might have went to the grave, but He didn't stay. He has risen. Sunday is here. You and I have to work through the pain, the suffering. There's a process. It's not always automatic. Sometimes it's a lot longer than we'd like. But it's available to us now. Sunday is here. Resurrection life is here. I hope that you find hope, that you find peace in knowing that today. You don't have to wait any longer. It's here. It's available. Christ has paid for it all. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. God, that is true and unfailing. Father, we thank you for your Son, that He has risen, that He is alive, that He is well. And God, we thank you that we have your Holy Spirit for our resource of counsel and guidance and wisdom. God, no matter what we face, God, we can call on you. We can seek you, God, for strength and wisdom. And God, we thank you for the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, that we can draw on, that we can lean into. God, that we can encourage and strengthen one another. And God, we just thank you for your love and grace, that you loved us so much. And Father, we thank you most of all that your Son is risen. Father, we thank you for that resurrection life. God, we ask your grace, your mercy, your blessing upon those gathered here today. Father, that you would use us for your glory. God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the prayer team up in a bit, so be thinking, what stones do I need to roll away in my life? What do you need prayer for today? To agree in prayer. If you'll take out your folder inside, you have a connect card. If you would fill that out for us, we're going to pick those up in a moment when we receive our morning tithe and offering. You can just drop those in the basket as it comes along. If we could have our ushers get ready. Also inside is an offering envelope. If you want to use that today, you're welcome to use that. And for our online givers, there is a website, www.tlcforme.cc, so you can go to follow the prompts to give here at the Life Center. So on your connect card, general information on the front, on the back, my decision today, there's several boxes there, next steps, life group, and serving. If you'd like to get more involved here at the Life Center, also prayer request, make sure you write down, we love to be in prayer with you for your needs and what's going on in your life. So write those down, please. Also coming up in 2 weeks is the highway cleanup, the 22nd, 8 a.m. at the Kuski kiosk near the bridge. Don't forget to sign up for that and be a part of that team. And I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward this morning, and we'll receive our morning tithe and offering. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your generosity towards us. We thank you, God, for your gifts. Father, your talents and abilities you've given us, God, to be able to go out and acquire an income. And God, we thank you for the privilege and honor, God, to be able to give back into your kingdom. And we ask that you would bless that which is given, God, to the work of your ministry, God, throughout this valley, throughout your kingdom in the world. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure you drop your connect cards in there also, please. And coming up right away after service is the Great Treasure Hunt. And they're going to be meeting over here in the youth room. Go out that door right there, take a left, take the first door on the right. And Trina's over there with most of the kids already. So if you have kids, look for them over there. And that will be happening out back here on the property. And I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. We'd love to give you an opportunity to be prayed for, prayed with. We believe firmly in the power of prayer. God is alive and well and working among his people. And maybe you would just say, God, I just want to meet with you and want to agree in prayer with someone else. Come forward today, get prayer. God meets us where we are. What stones need rolled away in your life? What lies have you been believing that you need to no longer believe and believe the truth of God's word of who he says you are? Where in your life do you need resurrection power? Say, man, I've been at that point where my marriage needed it, my parenting needed it, my pastoring needed it, my whole life needed it. There are different seasons of life, and we got to come back every day and choose it every day. Because as soon as we don't choose life, we're choosing death. We have two options. It comes and goes, but choose resurrection life each and every day. So come forward, get prayer. We love you guys. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a fantastic Resurrection Sunday. God bless you guys.